Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother!
This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Palafin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host,
Crystal. Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube, boys and girls of the podcast platform? Welcome back, Mr. Randall.
Mr. Schiller.
How you doing, sir?
Peachy, brother.
I'm looking this up so I get it correct. We're coming up to our winter break, so just so you guys know, podcasts will be light in the month of December. We will be taking a break around December 10th, coming back January 9th. We've had an epic year, so all our boys and girls are going to take a much-needed break. So just give you guys a heads up there. We will. I know Jay and I have a couple extra shows scheduled because we've missed some throughout the year, so we'll be doing a couple extra bonus episodes and stuff like that. So just be on the lookout for that. But the rest of our folks will be. Our guest is in the chat. Says hello.
it's almost like liking your own post when you like on Facebook or something.
Right. So just wanted to bring that up, bring it to everybody's attention, you know, so you didn't pop in and you were like, hey, where is everybody? So Mr. Wally's in the house. Hope you're feeling good, my man. He's recovering. I know I've been talking to him a little bit. He's got a big buck running around, so I'm wishing him well so we can get out there and get after it.
Oh, yeah.
Mike says, if you don't like your own post, then why post it?
Okay.
The shenanigans have already started.
Yeah, another 50
already
minutes.
Started. So our guest tonight, Mike McKinstry, announced some pretty awesome news. We're super happy for him. He's coming to the Discovery Network, which is pretty cool, man. It's cool to see kayak fishing continuing to make waves and make it to that big stage, you know. So we're going to talk to him about that, get some updates on the board game, because I know he's been teasing some stuff on that, and I know that's getting ready to be released, or it is released. I'm not 100% sure. So Dwayne's sending me photos of a new buck. May have to share these, Dwayne.
Dwayne, we're working.
Okay. Dwayne, send me GPS coordinates. If you can't make it there, I will.
There you go.
Cause this looks like a pretty good deer. Not gonna lie. Those G3s are like just giant. So nice. Well, enough chitter chatter. Let's get the man of the hour in here, Mr. Mike McKinstry, the Basquatch hunter himself.
Hey,
What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, hi. Fancy meeting you here.
He's even got his own sound effects queued up.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Good to have you back as usual. Some exciting stuff on the Basquatch platform. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Dude, it's so good to be here, man. I feel like this is like the equivalency of going to like the Bahamas for your first time every time I come on here. Like, it's just, you don't want to leave, you know?
Yep.
I'm not sure who this is, but a Facebook user says, Mike, congrats on the new achievement. I think you need to go hunting for a Sasquatch in an episode.
I didn't know you could. Can you be anonymous in comments?
In the Facebook group that we stream in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. You know, what's funny is I was actually warned, like, no joke, verbatim, that I'm not allowed to do Sasquatch hunting episodes.
Oh, because they got that couple Sasquatch hunting shows, right, on Discovery?
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's, do you want to get into this part right now?
Well, let's back it up. Let's back it up.
I mean, so, explain it real quick, but.
So how did this all come about? Did Discovery approach you? Did you approach Discovery? Like, how did this all start?
So the owner of Discovery Channel actually sat outside my house for like 8 days and wouldn't leave until I agreed to talk to him. I'm just joking. So Discovery Channel, like, you're like, wait, what?
Discovery Channel's a bunch of creeps. Like, what is this?
Yeah, no. So what's crazy is I wasn't even, obviously I went to them to answer your question, but I wasn't expecting Discovery Channel. Like, to be honest with you, like, I wasn't, my targets weren't set on Discovery Channel. It was one of those things where Discovery Channel is the biggest network in the country. They just merged with Warner Brothers. So they're like, you know, Animal Planet, History Channel, Discovery, like there's 33 channels now underneath their umbrella. So they're huge.
Sure.
And we've been on the Pursuit Channel for 3 years now, and we've been doing great. We've been winning awards every year. We've been ranking really high on the network. Our viewers have gone up every single year. Like, everything's going great. Streaming numbers are awesome. And I was like, you know, I really want to look into, I filmed an episode with a sports reporter from Bally Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there in Chicago with her, I was like, you know, I've been kind of considering airing my show on Bally Sports because that's where I watch my hockey games at. And like, you know, it's a big network, but it's also like Bally Sports is regional. So you can like get more fine tuned with areas. Like, there's some cool stuff about it. So I was kind of thinking about Bally Sports because I want to grow the show as much as I could. Well, then an agency I work with started talking to me about Discovery Channel, and they just kind of like blew over it in conversation. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Like, you can pitch me to Discovery Channel? And they're like, yeah, are you interested? It's a crazy process and most people get denied, so don't expect anything. I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. That's literally how it started. I was just like, wait a minute. That's a thing. I want to do that. Like, yeah, what do I got to do? I'll do whatever it takes. And I went through 5 rejections, dude, like 5 rejections. And these rejections aren't like, no, the rejections were emails like this long, like,
sure,
like of why I was rejected. So it's not like just a no. It's like, let me tell you why you're not good enough. Like, let me break it down into like at 103 in this video, we don't like this. And at 110, we don't like that either. And this should be this. And it's like, that's how detailed the rejections were. So I was like, all right. Like, and I've got a long history of sales, and I did door-to-door sales at one point even. So like, rejection to me is motivation. So like, I'm like, all right, let's go. After like the 3rd or 4th rejection, I was like, man, are they going to tell me to go away? Like, how many times can I keep on doing this? Like, if I'm just like working harder and working harder. So
as you did that, though, did the list get shorter?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Like, they have a great production team there. So they're like, I mean, they're going through like audio clips and like, you know, they're like, there's one frame that was off in an edit, and like one frame, you know, and it's 30 frames per second. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of frames. They like, that's how close they watched it. Like, one frame there was black and it wasn't supposed to be. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't even catch that. I edited a darn thing. So it was bad, but either way, we got approved on our 5th entry. And, it was funny because the entry email was just as long of like, hey, this is great. This is the best one you sent, but here's what I would improve on moving forward. And it was just like, and I was like, all right, like, this is fun. Like, I get challenged. Like, this is cool. So then we had to go, that was the agency approval. That wasn't even like the full approval. The full approval came like 3-4 weeks later, when Discovery's production team went through it all over again and just, you know, double checked our brand and everything. Then we got finally approved. But what's crazy is, so I didn't sell my show. Like, there's two ways to get on cable in this world, and you can sell your show or you can not sell your show. And there's, that's literally it. Either the network buys you and owns everything you do and can cancel you at any moment and you lose everything and they make all the revenue off your show, or you own your show and you deal with everything and you have all the risk and everything and you deal with all the ad revenue. And it's two different aspects. I chose to not sell my show. I won't sell my show. I don't want to ever lose control of what I do or lose content, or, you know, they could buy a season from me and then cancel me after one episode if it didn't go as well as they wanted. And then I lose everything and I can't compete with them. So Sure. Anyway, so they contacted me and they're like, yeah, you know, congratulations. You know, you got the approval. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, now it's real. You know, now I'm like, holy crap. Like, 6 months ago, I wasn't thinking this was going to work. And now I get to announce publicly that we're going to air on the Discovery Channel. Like, that's insane. The last kayak fishing show on Discovery Channel was in 2015, I believe, the year before I started kayak fishing. And it was like a Hawaii-based kayak thing where they go out and kayak, and the locals hated this guy for some reason, or the show. It was just like really unauthentic. And it lasted for like a half a season that was canceled. And then in 2011, there was a kayak show that was like ocean fishing, I think it was. And it was in Sit Inside Kayaks in 2011, obviously. And that show made it, I think, six episodes, I believe, maybe more, but it was less than a full season and it got canceled. So I was looking at that track record and I was like, all right, so I got to outdo this. Like, I got to make sure that I'm the first kayak bass fishing show. Well, we don't always do bass, but kayak bass fishing show themed ish show on Discovery Channel. I got to make sure that I set a really good example for the sport and let people know that it's not going to go away in three episodes. You know, I got to let people know that. So that's one of the reasons why I want to control my show too, which it's crazy how much work it entails and what it entails. But, you know, since they don't own my show, the rules get tougher too, because if they own your show, that means their production crew handles everything. Their editors handle everything. Their writers handle everything. Like, you have no control over your show anymore. You're just like, you go in and read your lines and leave kind of thing. Like, it sucks. I mean, it's cool for some people. I shouldn't say it sucks, but it's just not what I want to do. So since they don't control any of that stuff and I have to manage all that stuff, the list of rules that I have are like, I mean, it's like I can't do Sasquatch hunting, which they like for some reason made sure because they were confused about my branding. So they're like, we don't want any Sasquatch hunting. Like, that's, we don't want that. It's Discovery Channel. It's not what we want. No firearms, no blood on fish. Like, just these rules are like, but I get it because they can't control how it's portrayed. Like, so sure. I get it. Get it. Like, we had to cancel our paintball gun episode because it just, they didn't want us to misrepresent anything or do anything wrong because they can't control it. And if I get them in trouble, that's a whole different world I don't want to be in.
I just gotta say, that stuff is so silly. I mean,
I agree.
Even for paintball, I get it. No, I get it, dude. There's rules. But I mean, it's like, it's just silly. Like, these guys need to just take a step back and relax. Just
the way I look at it. So my knee-jerk reaction was the same thing where I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is no fun. Like, so no fun. Yeah. I get it. But then, like, after I let it sit more, I was like, you know what? What if I'm doing a paintball gun episode and we're all being idiots and I shoot like my buddy in the face, or like do something dumb that I think is funny and like gimmicky or something, and then Discovery Channel airs it. I mean, they have a huge quality control department. They'll probably catch it first, but they aired it. And now people are like, oh, cool. Discovery Channel's promoting unsafe use of paintball guns. Or like,
yeah, I think it's just guns, just period.
It could be because they were strict on that too, which I get though too, because if, you know, even, you know, a pro gun person like myself, I understand that if guns are misrepresented incorrectly, it's even more dangerous than representing them correctly. So if you don't have control over it, it's different. So it changed my episodes a lot, because when we first applied for this, we were told, the agency was flat out like, hey, you're going to get rejected. Like pretty much expect it. Like, it's thousands of people apply for this. Like, just be ready. And then once we got our rejections, we were already filming for next year. Like, we already started filming. And you know how it is up here in the north. Like, we only have a small window in the fall to start filming before winter comes in. So we're like, we're going full ahead as if we're getting accepted. So we hired more crew members. Like, my producer brought out like the big, like, you know, $20,000+ cinema cameras that we don't bring on the water that often. Like, we started doing everything like real. Like, we went to Chicago with like a 3 or 4 person crew. We flew one of our camera guys in for one day for one of the shoots. And like, we started taking the show so much more seriously, and I hired a new editor, which I'm really excited about. So it'll be the first time I'm not editing my own show, and the requirements that they want are just out of my league. I mean, I needed a higher professional at this point. So
sure. But
like, we upped everything. Like, we're filming the show so much better and we're formatting it better. So it's still the same show that I've always done. But when we film it and when we set it up, it's just, it's set up. The structure of it is so much better now. Like all the things I wanted to do in the past, but we didn't have the budget to do it or enough camera guys to do it or the right cameras to do it. Now we can do all those things. Like now we're pulling out all the big guns and, you know, really doing some big stuff. And this is only a start, you know, because now that we're on Discovery Channel, as long as we don't screw it up, knock on wood here, we'll be on it for many years, and it'll help us get a lot bigger guests, a lot bigger brands involved in the sport, a lot more eyes on the sport of kayak fishing too, which is huge. Like we're gonna put that big spotlight over the sport, hopefully. And
yeah, man,
I just hope that people see it and go, oh, all right, like this, not only does this exist, but this is like a serious thing. Like I turned on the Discovery Channel and saw this sport, so now it's real. Like now it's like nationally accepted, where it's just as normal as anything else you see on that network. So I'm really hoping that really gives a big boost. You know, someone once told me a rising tide raises all ships, and I truly believe that if we just put that spotlight on it, like it just opens up, you know, sponsorship opportunities for everybody and networking opportunities for everybody. And hopefully my show does really well and they want more content and they want more fishing shows on there and more kayak based shows on there. And it could open up a huge opportunity for someone else. You know what I mean? So like, I'm hoping this really like gets that first big push that it needed, you know, that it hasn't had in a while. So let's knock on wood again and see.
We got Darius in the chat. He says, so happy for you again, bro. Hard work pays off and you deserve that Discovery deal. That was the guy that you did an episode with, right? Or you ran into him on the water and his kayak was sinking or something, right?
Yeah, he's actually one of my best friends now. That's awesome. I was just talking to him right before we got the podcast, actually.
That's awesome.
Super cool dude. But yeah, I met him and I threw him a life jacket. I met at a boat ramp randomly and he wasn't wearing a life jacket. And I was like, hey man, take this. Kayak sank like 10 minutes later. And luckily me and my camera guy caught it. And he ended up flipping. And yeah, it was crazy. So we got a new kayak out of it and filmed an episode together. And now we're friends.
We got Armando has a question in the chat. How does going to Discovery Channel compare to when you met Jay for the first time?
This is a tough one. This is a tough one, even for me.
So... You know how that feeling you get when like you sleep in class and it's like pajama day and you're wearing silk pajama pants and you first wake up and you get that tingling feeling through your whole body? So that's exactly what it was like the first time I found out I was on Discovery Channel. See, I got you on that one. You thought I was going the other way. You thought I was going weird.
Dude, I'm just waiting. Like maybe this whole Discovery thing will keep you on the road where you're not going off script. like there's a script.
Yeah, I was gonna say off script. Are you telling me there's rules on this podcast?
I don't know.
So getting back to the subject.
Go ahead, Brian,
we gotta throw the comedy in there when we can, right? But no, it's interesting, man, because it was super curious. I'm super curious about it. Like I've talked to you personally, privately, you know, about TV and things like that, and you know, I was curious because I know you've been editing all your shows for the Pursuit Channel. So, like, you know, and you kind of touched on it. You know, if you would have sold your show to them, then it would be all their crew taking care of it. Where it seems like you've brought more people in, you've upped gear, upped the editing with a professional editor, things like that. So, you know, you said it's going to pretty much be the same show you've always made, but do you see anything new coming about with all that stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, I hope there's, you know, bigger guests involved and not bigger as far as, like popularity wise. Like I don't really look for guests with social media followings. That's not what I look for. I look for,
well, guests. If you need a big fat guy, dude, I'll sign up right now.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean big in size necessarily. I meant like big personalities, like just big, like, sure. Like we just had a dairy farmer we filmed with. And he's like one of the coolest dudes that I've like ever met. Like I offered to come back and help at the farm again. I was like, dude, this was like a great time. And even with fishing, he was like, dude, I want to do this again. He's like, that was so cool to like learn how to kayak fish. He's like, I'm in love with it now. I'm like, dude, I actually liked working with cows all day. Like, it was actually kind of fun. Like, it gave me purpose for the whole day. There was always something going on. My ADD loved the dairy farm. My smell hated it, but my ADD loved it. There was so much going on, like so much to look out for and watch out for. And, you know, it's just such a cool experience. So I just hope this opportunity, like I said, it's going to bring in bigger guests and bigger sponsors and bigger brands and bigger awareness. And that's my hope for it all. But like we brought on, a new sponsor this year that's first time ever working in the outdoor industry, which is shocking to me because they're in the outdoor industry almost. But we brought in AmeriGas Propane, and we've been working together for a year and a half, actually. We haven't been able to make it official. Everything that happened in the Ukraine, they're based out of Europe, they're an energy company, the largest in the country. And when everything in Ukraine happened, like everything got like halted from that company. So like we've actually been working together for a long time. We just haven't been able to do anything together or announce it or do anything until this year. But like AmeriGas, for example, the largest propane distributor in the country, like huge outdoors company, like, you know, clean energy, like they're such a great company. And now that they're involved in the fishing world or even just like the outdoor sports world for the first time ever, I feel like that's going to open up a lot of opportunity too. And that's kind of what I was talking about with the show. I just hope it brings a big spotlight on it, because now our sport's on the radar of one of the largest propane or one of the largest energy companies, the largest propane distributor. And like that could be so big for the sport because they could bring an opportunity. They could see value in what I'm doing and see good success in what I'm doing and start looking around the sport.
Sure.
And going like, all right, well, who out? Like, let's expand on the sport now, or like, let's expand in the outdoors, period, and see what else we can do. And that's kind of what I'm hoping like really happens with the show, because the more opportunity I get, the more the sport gets, and the more the sport gets, the longer we all have a job, like the longer we all have something to build off of. And, you know, bringing future generations into the sport is how we elongate it. And, you know, it's really important that people, especially people who are like towards it sounds weird saying this, so I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but like towards the top of the sport, like the people that are on the top of the sport, it's like their job to try to build the lower parts of the sport so we have a better foundation. That way it can keep on pushing everybody up. That way it just keeps on doing this. So I feel like that's the biggest job I have, is to make sure that with Discovery, we bring on bigger guests, bigger awareness, bigger sponsors, bigger networks, you know, just do the best we can just to let everyone know the sport's super serious, and some people in it are very serious about it too. And there's actually real like opportunity in the sport. So it'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully it helps you guys out too, like everybody, you know?
Well, there's been a lot of chatter about that in recent years, I know, especially on the national kayak fishing trails. You know, it's like, all right, yeah, we have, you know, this kayak company sponsoring the event, or, you know, Yak Attack or Yak Gear or Yak Gadget or, you know, Werner Paddles or, you know, whatever it may be. It was all stuff like within the sport. And that was one thing, the one topic of conversation that's been pretty hot and heavy is like, we need to get these things outside of the kayak fishing world to put eyes on us and put dollars into the, you know, the spotlight. And it's pretty much spot on what you're talking about, what you're doing right now, especially with that partnership with AmeriGas, you know, like,
yep,
that's huge, man. I mean, that's bringing in some revenue to the space that wasn't there at all. You know what I mean?
And I'm hoping they expand on, like, that's my goal with everybody I work with, is I hope that what I do for them gives them more, even if it's a kayak based company, like gives them more stability in the sport itself. Like, it's important that we don't forget the brands that made our sport or still make our sport, you know, like all the kayak brands, accessory brands, stuff like that. Like they're already in our space, and without them, we wouldn't have a space. So like working with them is huge to me. Like even if Pepsi called me tomorrow and offered me $100,000 for a year to work with them, I wouldn't do it if it would affect my relationship with all my other little sponsors. Like, I wouldn't have to get rid of all the other guys to get one big one. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I just had this debate with my producer recently about like Bass Pro Shop is, you know, it's so hard to work with a company that owns everything like that, because they want you in their kayaks. They're, you know, Johnny Morris branded everything, like, you know, everything in their brand, which is great. And, you know, they have awesome benefits and they're a great group of people. But if that makes you have to get rid of every other brand that's been with you since day one and that really feeds our sport, is it really worth it? No, it's not. It's not worth it, because now I'm taking away from the sport instead of building it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's really important when we get these non-endemic sponsors in here, like the brands that aren't fishing related, not only do we make sure that those help elevate the brands in the sport too, but we also make sure that those brands we're bringing in are going to benefit those brands. Like having a propane company, I know it sounds like non-fishing related, but me and the marketing director over there have had a lot of talks over the last year or two about all this stuff. And we came up with so many creative ways to have like propane tanks with barbecues, with accessories that mount on barbecues, or like, you know, kayak accessories can mount anywhere pretty much. So like there's ways to intertwine things together where you get, like, I always say that a chain is stronger when the links are connected than it is when they're disconnected. So trying to link all these brands together in fun ways, like just something different. Like, you know, I have to go to a propane conference in Minnesota or wherever it's at. It's weird. Texas or somewhere it's at. I can go there promoting the sport of kayak fishing to a bunch of propane, like, you know, outlets, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's really important that we intertwine all those things together. So like, there's so many brands that we can pull in the sport that are related, but like big vacation rental companies or log cabin home builders or cleaning supplies or, you know, tire companies, like so many companies that benefit our sport already, but they're just not in our space right now. Sure. And that's the kind of brands that I think all the top people in the sport should really be going after, because giving them any market share that they don't have is always more profitable than giving someone who's only got kayak fishing market share more market share. You know what right. I mean? Like right. There's an echo chamber eventually that you just hear the same brands repeatedly over and over, where you're not really getting any new potential buyers. You're getting viewers, but not converting them into buyers. Yeah. Where if it's a brand new company in the industry, it's, you know, everyone gets that excitement about it, and then they get a really good return, especially in the first couple of years when they're new into the sport, because that's something that new we can all stand behind. So it's always important to have a good healthy mix between those two, is get the ones that benefit our sport, even if they're not directly related, like AmeriGas. Like, you know how many people live on propane that are huge right. outdoors people, and barbecuing obviously on top of that. Mm-hmm. And getting brands like that feed what we already do is super important. And I challenge everybody out there who, whether you have nobody that follows you yet or you have a huge following, try to think of brands when you're thinking of sponsors. Think of brands that can not only benefit you, but benefit the sport as a whole, because that's where we all win. It really is. It's like, not to be cheesy, but it's, we all win when the sport wins.
Man, the first person that comes to mind is Catherine Field in Love's Truck Stops. You know, like she deserves that. She posts so
more
bad.
Loves. I see more Love's posts. I do fish posts from her.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
But we should get Love's the sponsor, because seriously, think about like Bucky's down south. Like, it's iconic. Every fisherman, whether you're Kevin Van Dam or you're the smallest, you know, fisherman in the world, like Jay Randall, like, you can have, I love you, buddy. Like, you can seriously have a benefit by promoting, like, you know, a Love's Truck Stop area. Cause then if it's our sport, then when we see it on the road, we relate to it more. It becomes part of our ingrained culture. And it's just a cool opportunity. I challenge people to go after Love's Truck Stop. That's a cool one, actually. I think they're nationwide.
I agree. Yeah, they're down here too.
I've never been to a Bucky's.
Dude, it's a new experience.
I still have never yet either. I've seen them on the road.
Yeah, I've been on the road for like 12 hours, and I'm like, do I really want to stop here and waste 2 hours? Or
you do, though, for real. It's like a mix between Walmart, a Dollar General, and 7-Eleven.
It's a gas station of America.
Yeah.
It literally is. It's got, dude, there's like rhinestone skulls of like bulls and stuff there in Texas. Like, and they're like $300. Like, they're just like sitting there, like 20 different styles, like covered in like bedazzled stuff. Like,
well, they got like a couple right in Georgia, too.
Oh, do they? I don't know where they. So
there's one for sure.
I know they're down south. I've only seen them in Texas. I've never been.
All the billboards about them are always about how clean the bathrooms are.
Yeah,
like they're always about, and there's some kind of like nuance to
when you gotta billboards. Go, you want a clean bathroom, man.
I mean, do they have like? Is it like a truck stop bathroom? Like, do they have showers and stuff? Because that's important. If it's,
I'm assuming they probably do. Yeah, I believe they are.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
If somebody from down south is tuning in and or has been to a Bucky's, let us know.
Yeah, someone comment on here. Let me know the status of the Bucky's bathrooms.
Yeah, well, I know we've all been to a couple, like, you know, truck stop gas stations or whatever. They have like the train spotting bathroom like situation. You go in there and you're like, I don't even want to hover in here. Yeah. Like, you're just like, I'm gonna go behind the building. I feel better the
whole time you're in there.
Yeah, there's some I don't even want to go. Like, I think my shoes are gonna fall off. That's like, just funny. Like sticking to the ground while you're walking. I mean, it's so bad in there.
You put like little bags over your shoes before you walk in.
Oh, dude, some of them. It's like, you know, it's a bad bathroom when you first walk in and you stall, and you haven't even closed the door behind you yet. You're just like, I don't know if I can even enter this room completely.
Yeah, you're like, I need penicillin right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Jay's been hanging out, but,
dude. There's been some seedy places, man.
Oh, geez. Getting back to Discovery. So,
oh yeah,
I know Discovery's been buying a lot or given a lot of airtime on Discovery Plus. Are you going to be on the actual Discovery Channel, or will you be on Discovery Plus, or both? Or
I will be.
How does that all work out?
I'll be on the actual Discovery Channel cable, but I'll also be on the Discovery Go app.
Okay.
It won't be on their Discovery Plus subscription thing. Okay. But I'll be on the Discovery Go or Discovery Go streaming app, and then I'm on with Pursuit Up. I think I have it in front of me somewhere. They're on like, oh, here you go, with Pursuit Channel. Fumble these papers.
So are you still going to be on Pursuit Channel?
Oh yeah. Well? So I'm airing. Okay. I'm airing 26 weeks still. I'm airing 104 episodes on total airings, I guess, on Pursuit still. I have a really solid following on Pursuit Channel where. Like I don't think I'll ever leave Pursuit Channel. I'll always have that as, you know, a full season or double season. I re-air everything twice on there. So we have such a good following on there, man. And it's such a cool network. Like they're like family. Like I've been on it for 3 years and I literally like, I trust those people.
Yeah. I just didn't know if there was like a conflict of interest there because you were going to be on Discovery now. Did Pursuit not want you or vice versa? Would Discovery not wanting you on Pursuit?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's another beauty of owning the rights to your show still, yep. Is I have right to air whatever I want. I can air on 9 networks if I want right now. And until someone buys my show, they can't tell me what to do on it pretty much. I mean, they can give me guidelines, but, you know. Yes. So, like on Pursuit Channel, it's on AT&T UVerse, Comcast, Dish, Sling, DirecTV, CenturyLink, all these things. And then on streaming... You can get it on Samsung TV Plus, which I just found this out recently. If you have a Samsung Smart TV, like automatically from the store, it has Samsung Smart Plus or Samsung TV Plus on the bottom of the app menu. And it's like free cable. Like it's like live cable. But I didn't know that it existed until recently. And I've been on there for 3 years. So if you go on there, the Pursuit Channel is free on there. So you can watch Pursuit Channel, every show on Pursuit Channel on there. Then Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, then the Apple Store, Google Store, Zumo, Xfinity Flex, Roku, and Vizio. So we're on a crap load of streaming platforms already. So Discovery Go is just another one. But, I mean, it's a big one, obviously. Discovery Go is huge, but it's just another streaming platform where the cable channel is going to be huge for us. Like we're going to be airing Saturday mornings. That's the only time they air fishing shows like that. Yeah. And that's what's so cool about it is these opportunities to air on Discovery Channel where they don't own your show, they give you this big of a window one day a week. And that's the only opportunity they give people to do that because they don't want everyone to do that. They want to make the money on their own show. Sure. So the more of their own shows air, they make all the ad revenue for it. They, you know, they make all the money for it. It's all theirs. They own the, you know, merchandising, everything. Where the shows they don't own, they get paid their fees and they get, you know, whatever they get paid their ad spaces, all they get paid everything that they need to get paid for it, but they have no control over it. So the better my show does, they don't make more money. So they give you such a small window. So to be able to get one of those spots is super tough. Like I'm telling you, like thousands of people get rejected on this all the time. Like it's just, it's crazy because this is the way that people would want to go because it's, you don't have to sell your show. So if they don't want to buy your show, then you can still get on the network if they approve you for it. Like if you go through the whole approval process and you make it through it, then you can still air on the network. But it's just a crazy approval process. Like I'm so grateful I got to go through it because I've never had feedback like that on my show. You know, like I usually have like other fishermen tell me or like strangers tell me or like my family and friends, they tell me their opinions on my show, but I feel like it's always like, yeah, it's great. And that's it. You know what I mean?
Sure. You're getting honest professional feedback.
But dude, it's so cool. Cause he's like, he'll say stuff like, you can't cut from a wide shot to this wide shot. You need to have this in between and your audio peaked at this time and blah, blah. He's like going through all these things and then like color grading and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, no one's ever critiqued my stuff this hard. Like, I love it. Like, I had no idea what I was doing wrong until someone told me. So like, there's no book on this really. So like, I didn't go to school to edit video. Well, correction, I did 4 years of video school, but it was before digital. So we didn't do it on computers. Right. Or it was like is a different system kind of thing. But either way, it was VHS tapes. You had a wheel that you had to turn and it was crazy. So like I didn't know what I was doing. So being able to get one of those time slots and being able to actually air on the Discovery Channel and having their critiques and their feedback is like one of the most valuable things I've been able to get for sure. It's crazy.
No, I could definitely see that because, you know, it's we get that all the time, you know, like love the podcast. It's great. What can we do better? Nothing, man. It's awesome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas having that professional feedback from an outside source can help you be better and make a better production at the end of the day.
I think Jay needs a better background. That's my critique.
You know, it's funny. It's like you're inside my head. I was just thinking, I was like, I remember somebody saying something about backgrounds, and I was like, I got nothing behind me right now.
Yeah, at least like, well, not that great. Put like a, like get a crayon out and draw like a weird picture and just put it behind you. Just have something.
Just or have something.
You can green screen yours. You know.
I do have something. It's right there. It's right there.
The logo that's on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, the logo already it's came with
your wall.
Are you sure? It sure looks like it's on my
wall. Go to a Kinko's, print that out like 24 by 24, tape it to the back.
There you go.
There you go. Look at Brian's all of a sudden in a living room. Nice piano. Nice piano, buddy.
That's his other house.
Oh, okay. He just transferred camera.
I play the piano pretty well.
He does.
Not gonna lie.
I've heard
you. You being serious?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, holy crap. We're discovering something about Brian here. Hold on, Mozart.
Yeah. Yeah, he's over there.
My arm's like half in, half out.
Yeah.
He's trying to line his arm up for 8 minutes while I was sitting there watching, going, is he going to do it? Is he going to get it? Will it make noise?
Wouldn't some say you have too much going on in your background, Mikey? I mean,
so this is my office. So that's,
I know what it is.
I get that. Oh, yeah, you've been here. Forgot. So a lot of people actually say that. They're like, dude, your background's like, there's a lot. Well, usually my camera's tighter too. Like, I usually don't have it wide like this. It usually cuts like just wide of the picture, but this picture was the street artist that we filmed with, we did an episode with, the one that caught his pike on his first time he's ever caught a fish in his life, and it was the coolest thing ever. He painted this. I can move so you can see it. Oh, move that way. So he painted that as a gift to the show, and that became a backdrop. So I have a lot of books. I've read most of them, or at least looked at most of them, but they're all from like 1800s, early 1900s, most of them at least. And so it is busy, but it's like, it's literally like the best example of me. Like,
they made picture books in the 1800s.
Dude, I wish, man. Oh, actually, I have a Sears.
They're like the pop up kind.
Over there, I have a Sears and Roebuck 1908 catalog where you could buy a house for like $2,000.
That's cool. That's cool.
That's a picture book somewhat. That's over there.
That is super
cool. There's some cool stuff in this room, and it's so chaotic and like hectic and so much going on at once that I feel like it's like a really good example of like how I am. So I like it as my backdrop.
That's very cool, man. Very cool. So I mean, did Discovery offer to buy your show, or
I didn't give him a chance. I didn't even look into that part, to be honest with you. I didn't even give him a chance to. So my agent I was dealing with did tell me that, like, you know, they might approach you after they see your show, after how it does on the air, blah blah. And I was like, that's cool. It's not going to change my opinion. Like, they could offer me $1 million and I would say no, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not going to sell my content. Because, like, I've seen it happen. There was a show in Michigan and lasted for 3 seasons a couple years ago. And it was a car-based show. And dude's like a half hour from me. And like, I watched his place blow up. Like, when he was on TV, he was just like, I think it was on True TV. It was huge. Like, he couldn't take on work because he could only film for the show. He could only do cars for the show. He couldn't do any other one else's work because he was so busy. And I was like, man, it's so cool. Then next year is like, oh man, it's so cool. Like, people were lined up outside to get autographs and meet the people. I'm like, oh, it's so cool. The next year he got canceled. Now he went bankrupt, lost his business. And because you can't compete, like, he had to sign a non-compete clause. So he can't just start his business back up like it was before the show, because now the show owns all the content and owns the name. So now he turned down work for 3 years. So now he has nothing. Like, he's starting over from scratch in a totally different branded business, like different name, different everything, trying to start over. And it's like, I've actually heard of that happening quite a few times with shows. You know, it's not that bad if it's a show like American Pickers, because obviously, like, you can still go picking and still have your stores kind of thing. But when it's a show that's like based around, like, you know, a character, or based around a theme, or based around a sport, even like that, when you can't compete with it, like, I can't have a YouTube channel, I can't have a show on a different network, I can't go back to just airing on Pursuit or whatever I wanted to do. So it's like they own my content. So, like, monetarily, sure, I'm sure it's awesome. Like, if you have a show that lasts for 20 years, then yeah, obviously that's a smart choice to do, to sell your show. But unless you have a show that you know is going to make it, I mean, think how many shows actually run that long. You know what I mean? Like, it's not very common that out of hundreds of shows that get canceled every year, it's not very often that one lasts for 10 years or more. And that's the only way I'd see it worth it, is if you're getting paid for 10 years for your show. That definitely could be enough where you're like, all right, well, if it gets canceled after 10 years, I'm probably set. You know, I'm probably good where I can do something on the side and just not do a show anymore, but still do my job or do what I want to do and not care if I have a following anymore, make money on it anymore. You know what I mean? But if you have 2 years, 3 years on the air, then they take everything and then you're not allowed to use it anymore. Like, that's crippling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. I know there's been instances too, I think, where, you know, some shows have somewhat been canceled or, you know, those shows decide to leave said station and go like to other platforms like YouTube and things like that, where they can make more money off the monetization there versus what they were on TV. And, you know, which kind of leads me to my next question. You know, it's like right now with the day and age we're in, where cable TV seems to be phasing out a little bit, does that worry you at all? Like,
no, not at all.
I mean, you're still on a lot of streaming platforms, so I'm wondering if that was part of your decision to kind of do that, because it seems like TV's kind of going away and everything's going to that streaming kind of format, because people want stuff now. You know what I mean? They don't want to sit through commercials and things like that. They just, you know, and it all started with the DVR, I think, you know, like when you could record a show so you could, you know, skip TiVo. Through all the ads and TiVo, for sure. So, I mean, was that part of your decision on being able to keep your stuff? And, you know, are you worried about like, all right, now I'm going to make this big push to Discovery, you know, is that going to taper off? Is that going to hurt you at all?
Well, of course, cable's always going down from where it was. It doesn't mean that it's not growing still, but it's just not growing like it used to. The cool part is every major cable network, including Discovery, has transitioned to digital. You know what I mean? So like, if you don't have cable, almost everybody has like what I have. I have cable too, mainly because of hockey games and stuff. But and it's cheaper for some reason to have cable and internet than just internet with Comcast. But either way, sorry, I was reading a comment. I got totally distracted. I was reading a comment.
I didn't mean to pop it up to distract you.
No, it's fine. I was like, all right. Well, you know me, dude. I get distracted.
I wanted to segue into that, though.
Yeah. I'll finish reading that again in a second. Sorry. I don't even know what I was saying now. What was I saying?
You were saying how great I am.
Where'd I leave off?
I mean, pretty much a great.
Yeah. Pretty much before you started. What was I saying for real, though? I completely forgot.
You're basically talking about how, and I agree with you that.
Oh, streaming.
A lot of the channels have gone to apps now. Now they're streaming on all these, how all we watch TV these days. So even if cable does go away.
That was their answer to the decline of cable itself, because I have Netflix and Disney Plus and HBO Max and Hulu and all these different things, because every one of them has their own exclusive show that I want to watch, or their own movies or whatever. Sure. You know.
Sure.
So every network got smart to this, you know, and this goes back to the Redbox days, where they started seeing that movie rentals weren't going anywhere anymore, and then they saw cable started going down when the internet came up, and that's when the YouTube generation started, when everyone started making money on YouTube, because it's, you know, and that's another thing too, people got to realize, making the transition from TV back to YouTube, the biggest thing is, if people who do that, is it literally you need zero production quality or value even to be big on YouTube. Where on cable, it's very expensive. Like, production for cable is so expensive. Everything's expensive with cable. Like, it's ridiculous how much money my show costs me every year. It's ridiculous. Where YouTube, when I was doing just YouTube, it was literally just me filming myself, or maybe I had a camera guy once in a while, or a buddy holding a GoPro. And that's, and you can have like look at Robert Field. Like he films himself. He edits himself, you know what I mean? And he's got like, what, 200,000 or 300,000, 400,000 subs, something like that. So like, you can do really well not on cable, and you can do really well on YouTube, and it's a crap load cheaper and a lot less pressure, a lot less rules. You know, it's like the Wild West on YouTube. So it's a whole lot easier, but there is something about that, that validity of cable. A lot of people watch cable still, and a lot of airtime is important on cable, because, so here's the thing. Ad space is what matters, right? Like, everyone, that's media is ads. That's it. Are you more likely to watch an ad on TV or watch an ad on YouTube? TV. Like, I'm curious.
TV. I don't watch TV at all. So
I don't either.
But it's on TV though. Like TV.
I haven't had TV in 6 years, 5 years, something like that.
So the problem with you know, YouTube versus TV versus cable, I should say. Even streaming, a lot of streaming doesn't have ads on the actual movies or anything like that. They're just before or after or on the page.
Sure. Yep.
So getting the most eyes on ads is so important. That's the biggest revenue stream out there is advertising. And you lose a lot of that on streaming and internet and stuff like that. So even on like the streaming apps, my commercials don't air. They don't air commercials. They just air my show straight through on a lot of the streaming apps. So I lose commercial airtime on a lot of those, where on cable, all my commercial spots air, which is what I get paid for. So sure, it's super important that cable's still there, because cable has a better retention. If you're watching cable, you're not on the go. You're on your couch or in your office chair. Like, you know, I watch streaming all the time on my big TV. I'm pointing at it, you can't see it, but my big TV in my office, I watch streaming stuff all the time in my office. But I'm in a living room, I'm sitting down stationary, I'm not skipping ads, I'm not, you know, I have more attention on ads, I remember the commercials more often. There's a reason why you don't remember YouTube commercials that often versus remembering Super Bowl commercials on cable. It's just you have your attention set. So I don't think cable is going to go away, and I don't think cable is dead at all. I think streaming is extremely important, because people on the go, my younger audience is almost 99% streaming. You know, my audience under 18, actually, I don't think it's below 80%. So I think I'm around 80 something percent for my under 18 year old audience on my show overall. And it's almost all streaming. So it's really important that streaming's there. But like I said, Discovery's on streaming, History Channel's on streaming. Sure. HBO's on streaming. You know, it's like, I don't think it's going to go away. I'm not worried about it. I think it's just going to be one of those staples that you have to have. Like, you just have to have streaming, you have to have digital, you have to have cable, you have to have all these things at once in order for something to be successful, because there's so many different avenues now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I see what you're saying when it comes to, you know, playing ads. You're kind of forced to watch through those on TV. Like, last time I watched actual TV was like 3-4 weeks ago. Me and my wife were down to visit my daughter at college. We were in a hotel room and we were like, gosh, like, this has been forever since we've actually watched TV. And that was the one thing I was like, yeah, this sucks. Like, there's tons of commercials. But at the same time, you start watching them because you're waiting for your show that you were watching to come back on. Whereas, you know, in a lot of YouTube ads, yeah, they have some non-skippable ads and things like that. And I found recently on Amazon Prime, even they have like a section of free movies, and it's usually movies you would have to pay for, but I think it's called like Freevee Movies with Ads, and they'll do ad breaks, you know, throughout. So it's interesting, because I think you're going to start to see more of that, kind of like the YouTube space, on some of these streaming platforms where you're getting ad breaks in there and stuff like that. But it's all interesting, you know, media these days and where that ad revenue is going. You know, it's an interesting conversation to me, especially with, you know, what I got coming up here soon. So.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And I'm just super honored that, like, it's just crazy to say that we're on Discovery Channel. Cause when I say it, then it like hits me like, holy crap, it sounds crazy. But being able to see it on there is going to be pretty cool. Like, I'm not going to lie, I don't watch my own show. I maybe watch one episode a year on cable just to see what it looks like. And, you know, maybe once a year I do that.
Sure.
But I'm not going to lie, on Discovery Channel, I'm going to DVR every episode, and I'm going to watch every episode. And just because I'm just going to be geeked out, like, you know, it's one of those things that might wear off after the first year, but, I hope it never does, to be honest with you, because I think it's such a cool opportunity. Like, it's one thing when I tell people, like, go on Pursuit Channel. Pursuit Channel is the biggest outdoor channel on DirecTV and Dish Network and AT&T Uverse. It's really big down south. Up here, it's not on Xfinity. It's not on Comcast. So you can't like tell most people to go on and watch it, because it's just, they don't have it. They have to go and watch it on streaming. So being able to say Discovery, when it's like, that's available everywhere nationwide on every platform.
Sure.
That's going to be a little bit cooler for me, just to be able to, you know, it's not very often I sit back and smell the roses, you know, and just like think about like what I'm doing is cool. Like I forget until I do like my kids' camps where people are like, oh my God, you get to do that for a living. It's so cool. And after a while, I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is pretty cool. I forgot. Like I'm just so like enveloped in the grind every day where I just forget like that it's cool what I do.
Sure.
So it's kind of cool to have a moment like that where I can be like,
well, I know Discovery also plays in like Europe, Australia, all that stuff. Is there opportunity for your show to air in those other areas of the world?
Yeah, as far as I know. So in the TV world, you have to get your own content subtitled. You just send it out to a company. There's like one company that does it for everybody in TV in the world, pretty much, or in the country at least. And when you send it out to get your closed captions done, you can select languages and stuff too, so you can have it transcribed in other languages.
Sure.
I'm almost positive that for Discovery Channel, it's in like, I think like 7 languages, I think.
Okay.
So I'm under the impression it'll air worldwide. I know we do have, even on Pursuit Channel, we have a pretty good audience overseas just for the streaming side of it.
Okay.
I know we have a lot of audience in Thailand because of the Feel Free affiliation to it. So we promoted it in Thailand at one point. So I get a lot of like, even today on a post, I got a bunch of comments from Thailand and I was hitting translate to try to see what they were saying and nothing ever translated correctly. So I'm like, I don't know what that means. So like, I usually have to ask somebody I know, I'm like, hey, you know Thai, you know how to speak Thai? Like, what is that? But I know we have a following in like Indonesia, Thailand, Canada.
That's cool. I wouldn't have connected the Feel Free thing. And now that I think about it, I know John Rapp, you know, John Rick.
Yeah.
I've seen him comments from folks over there from the Feel Free headquarters and stuff like that for some of the stuff he does.
Yep. Oh yeah. They're based on, I left that out, but yeah, they're based out of Thailand. So they're really big in Thailand. Like Feel Free is huge in Thailand. Like everybody kayaks in Thailand has a Feel Free. So it's a big thing over there. So with the affiliation with my show and me being in Feel Free Kayaks all the time, like I naturally have a big audience over there in Indonesia and Thailand, and a lot in New Zealand and stuff too. So it's cool that happens already, but I don't know for sure. I mean, it's a really good question. I need to know about Discovery, if it's automatically going to air everywhere or if that's something I need to work out with them, or I don't know. I know the captains, cool. Like I said, I know there was like 7 languages. So I don't know if that's just like a normal thing to do no matter what, or if that's specifically those languages for a reason. I don't know.
Sure.
I know it airs in Canada though too. And, which is, you know, I forget all the time, but it's another country. So, that means it airs everywhere.
I mean, yeah, Canada's that's a huge market too, that I think hasn't been tapped as well as it could be. As far as kayak fishing, you know,
it's seasonal country, but it's seasonal a little bit more up there, so that's why it's tough. Like, and also most, I shouldn't say most, almost every kayak based company is either American or overseas. They're not in China, or they're not in Canada. Like, there's none over there.
I'm just saying, you don't see kayak fishing promoted as much as it potentially could be in Canada, with it being, you know, fishing is like a national holiday up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. You know, but you got to remember, like, getting stuff to Canada.
I know. That's
none of the manufacturers are there. Like shipping in America when the products are made in America, it's like really easy. Shipping to Canada is not as easy, and getting inventory and stuff. Like, you know, some of my kayak fishing buddies from Canada, they've had problems with shipping before. They had to ship it to Michigan and come pick it up. I know that's part of it, but also it's just everyone I know from Canada that says the same thing too. They're like, oh, you know, it's hard because we only get like 4 months a year, you know, where you're at in Canada. You know, if you get 3 or 4 months a year, those 3 or 4 months are still cold. Like, it's still not fun to be out in a kayak in 40 degree water, no matter what time of the year it is. So it's just a smaller market, I would assume. But you know what? I'm surprised that kayak fishing isn't like what we see as kayak, like kayak bass fishing isn't bigger around the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, in general, like, I know that every country or every continent, I guess, has their indigenous fish and stuff like that. It's not always bass everywhere, but there's still bass, you know, everywhere almost. So, like, in at least the certain climates. So it always surprises me that, like, you see bass fishing as like an American thing. Like, it's an American sport. But in reality, like, there's ridiculous fishing around the world. Like, ridiculous.
Sure.
Like, amazing fishing around the world, and there's amazing species to fish for around the world. Like, imagine being in Argentina and or anywhere in, you know, Brazil, and going down the rivers over there and pulling out peacock bass this big. Yeah. Like, why isn't that like
arapaimas or whatever those are?
Yeah, just, I mean, there's dude, there's some fish in the Amazon that are just like look at river monsters.
I wouldn't even want to hook them. Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree with you. But why isn't it the sport bigger when they're like? Like, think of up here, like Jay knows, like up here with like Lake St. Clair, like sure. It's like having Lake St. Clair in Michigan and not going to fish it for muskie once in a while, just because they're crazy to do. Like, you know, it's same idea. Like, it surprises me that the sport of kayak bass fishing isn't global or more global. It just surprises me. Like, we see in the Feel Free page a lot of people from Thailand who fish, and a lot of there's a lot of kayak fishermen in Thailand. There's a lot of New Zealand. Like they're out there, but it's not a big thing, you know.
Well, that's why you're going on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, and I you know what? I hope it gets that big everywhere. That'd be great.
And I was just gonna say, like, I mean, it kind of makes sense too, just because around the world you can't get those plastic boats everywhere. You know, for many reasons, right? You know, unless there's something of like a lesser, I guess I don't even want to say that, just something more along the lines of, you know, a kayak in general. I think it's just more of a financial thing, really.
Sure.
You know, as far as like reach around the world, I mean, you're going to see more boats because, you know, there's access, there's exposure and everything else. And kayaks, yeah, it's Japan. It's still new.
Look at Japan, though. Japan's like a huge fishing culture,
like, especially bass.
Huge. So, look, why isn't kayak fishing massive? Like, Japan, average, smaller people.
Yeah.
Average, most of them eat fish. It's a very big fish eating culture. Yeah. Like, huge fish, like some of the best fishing baits and fishing ingenuity in the world came from Japan.
Yeah.
So look at why that is Japan JDM
market. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why is Japan not just like the jackhammer chatterbait?
Yeah.
Japan. Like, like, why is Japan not like the mecca of kayak fishing? Like,
sure.
That always blew my mind too with Japan. It's like they used to make the best guitars, the best steel, like Japan's no joke when it comes to manufacturing and making stuff. Like, why is that not a big industry? Like, I don't know the reason. Like, I really don't. Like, I wish I did. Like, I'm sure there's some like logical explanation for it, but, you know, there's a lot less bigger people in Japan, so they fit in kayaks easier. It seems like it'd be more suitable. Like, you know, there's less people J's size, so they can actually, you know, sit in them.
That's funny.
The look on your face. I looked right at your face on the screen. I sat down, like, I want to see his reaction. And you just went,
I just remember you standing in a hole and looking like, yeah, okay.
That sounded really weird.
All right, well, ladies.
We know,
ladies. So, real quick, man, before we wind down, you gave us a teaser on the last time you came on about your new board game you're coming out with. What's the status? Where are we at? I know you've been teasing some pictures of some game pieces and things like that, man. So,
yeah, I can I'll grab it. It's right in front of me. Hold on.
All right. If he was taller, he could reach farther.
Yeah, there's. I can't wait to see him again.
it's cool, you know, that Mikey's made his way on the Discovery Channel, man. That's, like you said, it's helping put a bigger spotlight on our sport, and it should open up some opportunities, which is cool. Fish on. I like it.
Still in the plastic.
So this is the Fish On board game. This thing is super cool. So this is a full production model. I think it's full of everything. So the back, everything, like, it's super cool. I think this is full. So when you open it up, the camera's up a little high, but there's like the rules card. It looks like a boat launch sign.
Nice. Yeah.
That's how easy the rules are. It's super easy. This one's a first edition, so you get the first edition card right there with the certificate of authenticity, because Seth Squatch is our mascot here. Nice. And then when you open it up, you get the board right on top. I'm just gonna give you guys a full overview of the game really quick.
I like it, man.
Heck so yeah. You got the board, and then when you open it up, there's some goodies down here in the bottom of the box. So you have the satchel of Seth supplies, and that's where your cards and your dice are. Then you have your four game pieces, which are right here. It's Seth front and back, so you get to fish as Seth just walking around going fishing. And then this one is a first edition, so it's got the commemorative, or creator edition, I mean. So it's got the commemorative 3D piece that comes with it. And then, of course, the Basquatch Hunter trophy that you win. Every time you win a game, then the person gets the Basquatch Hunter trophy. So what's really cool about this game is it teaches kids how to fish. It teaches adults how to fish. It teaches kids and adults, everybody, how fishing tournaments work. But it also gives kids, or I guess adults too, a realistic expectation of what a day of fishing is really like. Because you can catch seaweed, you can lose your fish to pike, you can catch stick, you can get stuck on stumps or lily pads. You can go back to start if you forget your life jacket, you forget your fishing license, you can break a rod. There's all these things happen, but it also gives kids a realistic expectation of what fish are, because it gives you different size bass and tells you how long they are and how much they weigh and different species too. So here's the board right here. This is Seth's world right here. Seth Squatch is the Sasquatch here. And you can see there's five nets for each player. There's four players per game, or up to four. You can play with two. And when you go around, you want to land on these little spots that say fish on, and try to avoid obstacles. It's hard to see because I'm backwards in the camera. Sure. You want to avoid all the obstacles and everything. But the fish on squares are important, because if you land on a fish on square, you pull a card. So you get one of the fish on cards right here. And then you can get different things, like a Basquatch that's 8.5 pounds and 24 inches, or you can get a tree pounder, which is a branch, and you got to go back a few spaces. You can get seaweed, which has grass bass on it. You can break your rod. There's all these different, I'll fan them out right here so you can see them on camera. All these different cards, you can get a pike and lose your fish. All these different things that are expectations of what it's like to really go fishing, and you move around the board. So when someone gets to the finish line, you add up all the fish in your nets and see who has the heaviest or the longest fish total. And then
that's cool.
Trophy. So it works just like a tournament. It teaches you how to call fish. So if you get five and you get a bigger one, then you can call out your smallest one. And there's smallmouth bass in here, largemouth bass. There's Basquatch cards that are the biggest bass. There's bluegill, there's pike. There's all these different things that happen when you catch different fish too. So it's a really, really, really fun game. And you can also get stuck in like lily pads and tree stumps where you have to roll. The dice has his face on two sides. You have to roll Seth's face to get off of the lily pads or tree stumps. So it gives like a really realistic expectation of what we all encounter when we go out fishing for the day, whether we catch three fish or four fish or five fish or one fish or no fish. Or if you forget your life jacket, you have to go back to start. It just, there's so many lessons in this game. But it's funny because, like, when the adults tested it, I should say, it turned into a drinking game. Like, got super competitive, talking. Like, we tested this for like 3 or 4 months with adults, and then like 2 or 3 months with kids. I've been working on this for almost a year now, actually. And sure. The adults made it into a drinking game. Like, every time you get a Basquatch card, we're doing a shot. Every time you lose a fish, we're doing a shot. Every time we're doing a shot, you know. So like, and it gets like, even me and my buddies are playing it, like, it gets like, you start talking trash, like, it gets competitive. And then the game ends whenever people, like, you can go around in circles around the lake as many times as you want. And then when you want to get out of the tournament, or you think that you have enough fish and you're winning, then you go one of the outlets out, and you got to avoid obstacles on your way out, and you can lose a fish right at the end by it from a pike. Mm-hmm. And if you land on that pike spot, which is right at the exit, and you lose a fish, the whole tournament just changed, because now you're on your way out. You can't go back. Once you're on your way out, if you don't have enough fish anymore, then you could lose by 1 inch. You could lose by 1 pound. And that's what's so cool about it. The average game lasts for 10 to 12 minutes. So you get to like play these little mini tournaments with your buddies, or if it's kids and they get to learn how these work and learn how math works with fish. And, you know, yeah, how many times does a kid come up to you guys or anybody that's listening and say, I caught a 32 inch bass, or I got a 15 pound bass. So, like, they have no idea what
are.
Not that they're liars, they just don't know. They're so excited, they're exaggerating it. So this helps them with that too, where they're like, hey, the Basquatch was 10 pounds and it was 26 inches or whatever it is on there, 25 and a half inches. Then that gives them a realistic expectation when they catch a, you know, whether if they're in the South, at least they get a 10 pound bass, they know that's a Basquatch. Like, that's a double digit bass is a Basquatch. Then they can tell their buddies, like, hey, I caught a 10 pound bass. Now it's realistic. Now they know what to expect.
Sure.
They catch a northern pike and it breaks their line, or takes their fish off the line, they're not going to get discouraged from fishing because they learned that in this board game that it happens. It's just part of fishing.
That's like cool, man. Things
that can happen.
I love the concept, man, and the lessons in there are very important for sure.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's so much fun. The back of the game also has like the rules and like everything you need on it. It's like such an easy game to play, but it's so much fun. And we had it on Kickstarter. The Kickstarter campaign just ended the other day. I made a very big mistake on Kickstarter, so we didn't actually get our funding the first time around. I made a mistake promoting it and just screwed up a bunch of stuff I was doing, so it didn't get promoted the way I wanted it to. So we're redoing some stuff on there and doing a new Kickstarter in a couple of weeks here. So they will be back up for sale on there, and then people can go on and support it and get one. And then we'll be able to get we already have them in production. They're done. There's no prototype testing anymore. Like, these are full production. We just can't order a big enough quantity to have an inventory because they're so expensive. Sure. So to get these things made, we have to order 100. If we order less, like our first run's 25, and they cost us over $50 a piece. So which we can't sell it for anything above that, obviously. So in order to get enough in to be able to sell them at a normal reasonable price, we have to order 100 or more to get price break. So that's why we're doing Kickstarter for it, just so we can afford to get an inventory in so we can sell it cheaper to you guys. Sure. And then after our Kickstarter goes off and successful, which will probably end in January-ish or February, then we'll have them on Amazon, and we have two new websites that we're launching with the games on it, and we have some retailers already that are going to pre-order them too. So nice. The game will be out. But there is a thing, if you guys have like 48 more seconds or minutes, I do want to announce one more thing, if that's cool with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. Cut it.
Ooh. Okay. You know what? All right.
That's it. We're out. Thanks for coming, Mike. That's funny. These guys.
Oh, dude, I literally have these queued up, man. Like, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Not Christmas
yet, bro.
I know.
All right. That's only 30 seconds left. So, what do you got?
Okay. So our first of many children's books is almost completed, being illustrated right now.
Nice.
We have 12 children's books. There's a series of 12. They're already all planned out. First two are written. The first one took a while for the editor and everything to go through, and now the illustrator is doing his magic on it. But it's a whole series of books based on Seth Squatch, on our character. I'm going to say this really quick, so I apologize for everyone trying to keep up here, but I'm going to be quick so I don't have to be on here too long with you guys. I just don't want to overstay my welcome here.
No, you're good, man.
So the first book is his origin story, and the story behind Seth Squatch, the whole thing is loosely based on my show, and there's like little things that I hid in there that are like personal to me. The story of Seth Squatch is that he's a Sasquatch, has been hiding in the woods for hundreds of years. And, his grandpappy Sam Squatch back in the, 1800s got spotted in that famous pose like this, and, someone got a picture of him. So ever since then, his family has been in hiding because they don't want to be found. And, then the humans will mess with them or whatever. So they're in hiding. A kayak fisherman wandered back in the woods and was trying to find a remote area that only kayaks could go, and found this river system and ended up stumbling across Sasquatch or Seth Squatch. And Seth saw his first human and decided that, you know what? I want to talk to him and see what it's all about. I've never met anyone different than me. Like, let me see what happens. Well, the fisherman taught him how to fish. He caught the biggest fish he's ever seen, which was a Sasquatch sized fish that they called a Basquatch. And then the kayak fisherman said, hey, you know what? We'll start calling you the Basquatch Hunter because you caught the biggest fish I've ever seen, which is kind of how I got my nickname from my buddies back in the day. And that's also what the show is based around. Well, then Seth was like, well, I met a human and he wasn't scary. I actually learned something from him. It was super cool. Now I want to see what I've been missing all these years. I've been hiding for hundreds of years. What else is out in the world? Like, now I'm going to go hunting instead of sitting in the woods hiding. So then he goes out of the woods and meets new people every single time he goes out. So there's a book based around every time that he decides to go out of the woods. He meets a NASCAR driver that flies by the woods. He's like, oh my God, what do you do? And he's like, I drive cars. What do you do? He's like, I'm a Sasquatch. So, he's like, will you teach me how to drive? So he learns how to be focused and learns how to not be distracted and learns how to have determination and learns all these good traits from learning how to drive. Then he tells the driver, like, hey, let me teach you what I'm passionate about. Let me take you back in the woods and show you where I learned how to fish and teach you how to fish. Then they go back into his world, which is the board game map. And he takes different people that he meets fishing in different parts of the map. and learns new things from new people and realizes that people aren't really scary and people that are different than him are actually pretty cool. So every book is a different experience based on the actual TV show. So he meets a NASCAR driver, just like we filmed with one. And he learns what things that I learned from the NASCAR driver. Then he meets a firefighter. He meets a comedian. He meets, in the winter series, he meets a figure skater, a snowboarder, a hockey player, and then the kayak fisherman comes back to teach him how to ice fish first. So he takes everyone ice fishing in the river. So there's like all these, there's four books in each series. There's three series total, and they're all based off our show and different things that I've learned from people that are different than me. And we're really hoping that when those come out, that a lot of the kids that read them and the parents that even read them to their kids will realize that trying something new is really cool sometimes. And even though it's scary, it usually has a good reward. If it's worth it, it's going to be scary. So it's worth trying new things and meeting new people and seeing what else is out there and not being afraid to take that jump and do something completely different to see what you find. So we have those coming out too. And I haven't talked about those yet publicly. Mm-hmm. So the first book, the origin story book, will be out in the next probably month. It'll be out right after Christmas, I think.
No.
The second book will be done right after that. The whole first four will be done within the next couple months here. And then we'll have the first series done and then the winter series. First series is fall, then winter, then summer.
Very cool, man. It's so cool, Mike. Like you've definitely thought outside of the box, you know, compared to other fishermen, TV personalities, things like that, man. And it's your head's in the right split. Your head is in the right place and your heart is as place. Well, dude. And it's super cool, man. It's completely awesome to see what you're doing and the things you're doing to help not only promote the sport, promote it in the right way, bring kids into it, everything like that, man. You just don't see that anymore, dude. And it's super awesome.
Well, it should be though, because what's cool is like finding something you love to do, but what's even cooler is like showing someone else how much fun it is and then seeing them fall in love with it. And that's absolutely. What like every guest I have in my show is different, except we all have that one thing in common, that we do what we love for a living. We have our own like passionate thing that we do instead of working at a desk, like sure. Whether they're athletes or comedians or dairy farmers or country singers or, you know, whatever, you know, we all chased our dreams and are doing something we're passionate about. So being able to share fishing with these people who usually have never fished and watching them, like not one guest has ever been, one guest didn't like fish. She was scared of fish, but every other guest has been like, holy crap, what a cool, but he fell in love with the kayak though. So I can include him.
Sure.
But like everyone I've taken out kayak fishing, even if they've never been in a kayak, they've never held a fishing rod. Every single guest I've had has been like, holy crap, is this cool? Like, I never knew this existed. Like it's so, I hear the same things. It's peaceful. It's quiet. It's like therapeutic. It's exciting. It's like a jack in the box waiting for a fish to bite. It's not as hard as they thought. Like anybody could do it. Like all that feedback is why I do that kind of stuff, because it's so freaking cool. It's so cool to see somebody else fall in love or at least get excited about something that you are excited about. You know, I've always make the comment where being on top of a mountain's cool, but being on top of a mountain with everybody else and celebrating is even cooler. And that's how I've always felt, where like if I do something cool, like I want to share it with everybody. Like if I find something cool, I want to tell everybody about it. And that's how I started this whole sport in my whole career, is I got a kayak and nobody believed me that you could stand up in it. Nobody believed me you could catch fish out of it, because everyone had bass boats. I live around like 20 lakes. Sure. And everyone laughed at me about it until I started sharing videos and they're like, oh, shoot. Like, yeah. What a cool, like, that's a kayak? I'm like, yeah, dude, try it out. And then it turned into, like, the reason why I have six kayaks now is because I let everybody try them all the time. And I get so excited. Like, I grab people off the shore that are fishing or kids or whatever. I'm like, hey, you ever tried a kayak? No? Jump in mine. Here's a life jacket. Here's a kayak. Here's a rod. And then they fall in love with it. And it's like, man, is that addicting. Like, that's it's awesome. So addicting. And that's what everything I do is all about, is I just want everybody to have fun and everybody to find something they're passionate about. And you know, I was so miserable so many times in my life and just wanted to find something that made me happy. And it's so cool that I finally found that thing that I can help others. I can make an impact. I can do pay it forward stuff. I can do what I want with my show. Like I can do everything I wanted to do. I can work with kids, like all the stuff I love doing. I get to do that all the time now. Like it's so freaking cool.
That's awesome, man. I think that's an epic spot and way to end the show.
Yes.
Dude, we thank you so much for your time. And
dude, thank you guys for having me on.
Everything you're like, doing, it's
you guys just, are the best.
It's cool, man. I'm the best. Jay.
No, you're both the best, man. Like, seriously, guys, like like I do a few podcasts, you know, I do interviews and stuff, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and like everyone's got great stuff. Like, just like I always say in the industry with kayaks and with any industry, like everyone's got something for someone. Like everyone's got good stuff. It's just a matter if it's right for you or not. But your guys' podcast, man, is always awesome. You always like have great conversation. Like, I know I mess with you guys a lot, with Jay a lot, but like, it's out of respect and love, you know. Like, I love being on your platform. Like, I get excited, like legitimately excited, when I'm like, oh, I get to talk to Jay and Brian again. Like, I get to share some new cool stuff. It's just like me and you guys are all talking like buddies, but people get to like chime in and listen too. So
sure.
All jokes and like, you know, flirtations aside, like, I love being on here.
I love it.
I feel like there should be a compilation of videos.
Jay just turned a little red.
Yeah,
I did not turn red. The lighting in here is bad.
Oh yeah.
You guys need to make a compilation of just like times that me and Jay have said inappropriate things to each other on here.
That's great. Like, I was thinking of like teasers to make.
You'll never get on Discovery.
Yeah, Petal and Finn after dark.
We've done a couple of those. We still whoa.
We're gonna have our own show, Jay. It'll be called Fisherman in Paradise.
Yeah. Oh boy. Randall, final thoughts, my friend.
Sayonara, Mikey. No,
you're like, get out of my podcast.
Yeah, that was longer than 48 seconds. But
dude, I talk so much. You should know better. When I say 48 seconds, I meant 48 minutes.
No, it's always good to see you, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool what you're doing. You're making some strides, brother.
Cool, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
That was a very awkward end there, Jay.
I don't know.
Like, I thought that was going to segue into something else, but you just went to awkward silence.
It's all the pitches at the end, right? So,
hey, Jay,
I'm not a newscaster. Yeah.
The podcast is awesome.
Yeah. Like, you're pretty cool, and
you do cool things too, and your hat is cool, and your wall.
That's right.
Just sit there.
And you're
man.
You know, Schiller? I used to have a cricket sound on my thing here. I don't have it anymore, but I have that at least.
There you go.
But either way, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Check out the show at all the links you guys posted for me. It's BasquatchHunter.com is the main place.
That was the one question I kept meaning to ask you. When does the first episode air on Discovery? Do you know that yet? May. All right.
I think it's the first week of May. I don't have the exact date in front of me. Pursuit Channel, I have that contract in front of me because I just signed it. Pursuit Channel, we start airing in the first week of April. We air Saturdays, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Same air times we had last year, actually.
Nice.
And then Discovery will be Saturday mornings. Set your DVRs. It's an early morning spot. So set your DVRs so you can watch it. It's early Saturday mornings, and I'm almost positive that it's starts in May, first week of May. But I'll post it as I think right after the new year is when everything kind of gets like
set up.
Right now, everything is just like, it's like taking all the stuff I need to know about Discovery Channel stuff, putting it in my hand, and then throwing it up in the air, and then trying to like figure out where it goes. Like, that's what I'm doing right now, is trying to figure out where it all goes.
It's been a lot.
Like I said, we added more crew members. We added, like, it's just nuts how fast everything moved. Like, it happened so late in the year where we didn't have time to really like prepare for everything to happen so quick. So now everything is happening so quick, and now we're talking into like the brands that I'm talking to are just ridiculous. Like, I can't believe I'm on the phone. Like, today I got the phone and I did a little dance around the house and everything. I was like, holy crap. Like, some of the people I get to talk to right now because of Discovery Channel, because of what we've done with the show. It's great. I talked to a marketing director today. I promise, it's my last story. And the marketing director is from a different state. We were in Pennsylvania, and she was like, yeah, so I was talking to my kid. Or no, she's in Florida. The company's in Pennsylvania. She's in Florida. She goes, I was talking to my kid. I told him I had a meeting with the Basquatch Hunter. And he was like, oh my God. And he pulled up his phone and showed me on YouTube. He watches your YouTube channel. And I was like, holy crap, is that awesome?
That's cool.
Like, I'm like, not only does that feel awesome, but also I'm like, hopefully that's a good in. Like, your kid knows me. It's super cool to like the people that I get to talk to now, and the fact that they know about my show already. Like, they've heard of it. And even if it's from their kid, like, it's just such a cool, like I feel like I'm finally doing something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't want to say I feel like I've made it, because I definitely haven't, but like, I feel like I'm finally hitting that spot where
you're hitting that stride, man.
It's all becoming worth it. Like, it's all paying off a little bit. Where
all the puzzle pieces are going together, brother.
Yeah, all the game pieces are
working.
make sure
more game. You missed the opportunity there, Mike.
Yep, BassQuatchHunter.com, guys. I just redid a lot of the website in the last 48 hours. So you can buy, we have a lot of new apparel on there. We have a whole lot of new stuff coming out all the time on there. We actually have a whole new shop section because I know I announced a huge thing with the children's books today and we talked about the board game, but we also have three other products that we're working on right now too that I'm really excited about, like super excited. I've been working on them for a long time. And they're finally coming to fruition now. So we'll have a whole little Basquatch store set up on there. But right now you can get some really cool apparel. We have all brand new logos. We have three new logos on there. So check that out, guys, and see our socials. Subscribe on YouTube.
There you go. The links will for all that stuff will be down in the show notes for you guys and gals listening on the podcast platforms. But we appreciate you, Mike. Everybody tuning in, we appreciate you well.
Super important. Sorry. Thank you to everybody who's listening to this podcast too. Make sure you guys check out all their podcasts too. They're all awesome, even the ones that I'm not on.
There you go. See, Mike even lifted you up there in a way, Jay.
I can't lift Jay up. Look how big he is. Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. On that note, boys and girls, we will see you next week. We're here every. Actually, we won't see you next week. We wish you guys all a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you eat well. Get time. Spend some good time with your friends, your family, and all your loved ones. We'll be back the following week. Is that when we're talking to Mr. J?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, go ahead and just say it, all I guess.
Well, we'll have Jameson Redding coming on. Jackson just launched that new Kusa X, so we're going to have him on talking about that a little bit. So we got some cool things in the works. I know. Yeah, when that show airs, I can let the juice flow. So we'll leave it at that. We will see you guys the week after Thanksgiving, that Thursday. Thanks, everybody, that tuned in, and we'll catch you on the next one. Till next time, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle.